The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. And by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. See you later.
A first reading from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among your members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth water from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. Cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you. Walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, What can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel of Mark today has Jesus looking us straight in the eye and asking, "Who do you say that I am?" No time to check with your favorite Bible study leader. No time to dig back in for your confirmation class answers. No hemming and hawing. Just answer the question now. This is a very important question. Because our answer not only says who we think Jesus is, but it's also who we believe that we are as the body of Christ. And it calls us to solidarity with everyone else in that body of Christ. Solidarity is Mark's call to Peter and to all of us. The text for today is at the very center of Mark's gospel. This question is a hinge question from the first half of this Mark's gospel and the second half. Mark's gospel is full in the first half of storms and eating. The storms are a symbol for the storm and the angst that is going on in the community of Mark. Two times, Jesus and his disciples are crossing stormy seas, rowing against the wind toward Gentile territory. Mark's church was grappling with the question, do we let those hated Gentiles in? For Jews, Gentile was a nasty word. Today, the nasty word is Syrian, or refugee, or migrant. It's any of those words that we use to separate ourselves from those we consider to be outcasts or rejects, those we see different or other, those that we would rather keep excluded. After the sailing trips, and they're back on land, we hear of the great meals that have the multiplied bread. Mark tells two stories. 5,000 men in Jewish territory, and then a second story that takes place in Gentile territory, where all the people, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, are together, just as we are called to do at this table, without distinction of race or gender. All are welcome. The great images in the second half of Mark's gospel are road and cup. Notice the question that Jesus asked today. The gospel sets the scene for us. As Jesus is on the way, on the road, he asked this question. Mark has Jesus on a journey, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross. And he tells his disciples that to follow him on that way is to take up the cross. For the followers of Jesus, the cross will mean solidarity with the outcasts and the rejected that Jesus has invited to the table. In the midst of storm and meal, road and cup, we have this hinge gospel that we heard today. This is Christianity's hinge question. Who do you say that I am? Peter thinks he knows the answer. He understands. You are the Messiah. He is the first Christian to voice a creed and a belief without the foggiest idea of what it means. Messiah for Peter and for the people of Israel meant royal power, the kingdom restored with pomp and circumstance, new hierarchies with power over the people, and first place in the kingdom. And Jesus rebukes Peter, turning it all upside down, saying that to Peter, don't use that word, Messiah, until you know what it means. Until you know that Messiah means the cross. Don't use that word until you know that it means going across those stormy seas, eating with outcasts, following the road that leads to drinking the cup of suffering with most of our broken and wounded brothers and sisters. Jesus says to Peter, you're acting like that first Satan that tempted me in the desert, that wanted me to be the Jesus of the wonder worker, that wanted me to be the royal. Get behind me, Satan. Get back on the road to discipleship. Get back to following me to the cross. And then Jesus teaches about the cross. Only those who are willing to take up the cross can be disciples. Only those willing to lose their life for Jesus and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But we have to be careful with this cross talk in this upside down kingdom of Jesus. We are prone to privatize our cross and make it like an act of self-denial or our own personal suffering. We're prone to turn it into a piece of jewelry. This makes me a Christian, or a tattoo that says to the world, I am now and forever will be a Christian. We make it more about ourselves than about Jesus. So we have to be careful when we say we're following the cross, that we know that we are really following Jesus and what that means. For Mark's community, crucifixion, the cross, was an act of political terrorism by the ruling power of Rome against mostly the lower classes, slaves, criminals, people with no rights. In taking up the cross, Jesus is choosing to be in solidarity with those who are the most oppressed. He calls us to take up that cross and to do the same with migrants and refugees, with people who are discriminated against because the color of their skin or their sexual orientation, or the people that we might call unproductive, the elderly or the disabled, with homeless or prisoners, with the economically stressed, with the sick and dying. We are called to be in solidarity with all of God's children. Today, some of you are participating in God's work, Our Hands Sunday, reaching out in solidarity to the homebound, to the homeless and addicted, to school children in poverty-stricken countries, and even to the land itself with a cleanup and pickup activities. We reach out in solidarity with all who come here to receive and all our welcome greeting in a clean and safe environment in our classrooms and in our outdoor space, as well as inside. So today the question keeps ringing in our ears. Who do we say Jesus is? Who do we say we are in our lives, in our church, in our society? Are we ready to fight against the stormy seas? Are we willing to welcome those that others reject? Are we willing to invite those others to eat at our family meal table and at this table as well? Can we follow on that road, carrying that cross in solidarity with all who are crucified today? Can we drink the cup of suffering that Jesus offers for us?
Can we multiply loaves for all of God's people and break our bodies and shed our blood for the sake of the world? Yes, we can, if we stand together, if we follow together, trusting together in the promises of Jesus. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. So who do you say that Jesus is? Amen.